WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Many of the guests we have on Fresh Air are famous or about to be more widely known, but most musicians and artists never become famous. We're going to hear about one of them. This is a story which was originally heard on This American Life, a new national radio program from WBEZ in Chicago. It was produced by award-winning public radio producer Jay Allison with Dan Gettiman. Dan is the one who narrates the story.
That's not Tom Jones, it's my brother, Alex Jones. And that's not his real name. His real name is Mark Gettiman.
No, my real last name is Gettiman. G-E-D as in David, I-M-A-N. You know, I'm proud of the name, but as far as showbiz is concerned, it can't be spelt.
My brother's middle name is Alex. He bumped it up to the front.
I like Alex. Alex has worked. There aren't too many Alexes that are big these days, so I'm sticking with that name. It's very catchy. Just people always remember Alex.
For a while, when he was in this rock band in the late 70s, he called himself Alex Space, but that's another story. For the past 5 years, it's been Jones. Alex Jones.
I had a Jones for singing. I had an addiction. Yes.
That's pretty much the truth. My brother has had a Jones for singing for just about as long as he's been alive. All he ever wanted to do was make music, to sing for people.
The Kiwanis Group, the Knights of Columbus, the Lions Club, the Elks, the Sons of Italy. You name it. If there's one of those, I've been there.
My brother sang constantly in our house when we were growing up. He always wanted to be a rock star or the next great soul singer. Once he was out on his own, he sang everywhere he could, and he still does. Anywhere he can find an audience to appreciate him.
Jerry Lewis Telethon. I've done schools. I've done colleges. I've done arts exhibition and whatever. They also have cows and things like that. You know, one of those. Basically, anybody that'll have me, you know. Tom gets around.
My brother's been in countless rock, blues, and R&B bands over the years, but these days he's mostly hired as a Tom Jones impersonator. He does that by night, though. During the day, he holds down a straight job.
You know, it's tough to tell people, your coworkers, I'm going to be Tom Jones. Particularly when I've been trying for the last few years to develop an image of this. I've been working as a computer analyst and developing this image as this kind of conservative nerd type, and I've totally blown it.
Fall in love. I'm never gonna fall in love.
My brother performs with a review called the Hall of Fame Superstars. There's a Patsy Cline, an Elton John, Buddy Holly, Roy Orbison, and then my brother closes the show as Tom Jones.
Singing as Tom Jones is very similar to the way that I naturally sing. We have a lot in common. But I've gotten to the point where I'm hitting notes and doing things that are beyond the scope of what he did.
My brother is nothing if not confident, at least on the surface. He thinks positive and has an uncanny, almost overconfidence. It's an amazing quality, really, even unsettling. My brother's 43, not married, doesn't have kids. He's had a lot of girlfriends, but he doesn't have a steady one now. These days, he's living at home with my parents in Massachusetts. Why don't we go into the music room?
All right.
For, you know, a little bit, to get out of the way. And
growing up, we had a room in the house we called the music room.
Now, it looks a whole lot different.
That's where my brother and I talked the last time I was home visiting.
There was a Scott amplifier.
Right in the corner here.
Yeah, and in the corner here was a very large professional turntable, which had come right from a radio station. And I forget what the brand of that one was.
Recocut,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was a, you know, top of the line.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a great room.
Great atmosphere. It was a place where you could just kind of go in and play around and make believe you're the star.
Come on, baby. Let loopy loop. She's a humbug. Nothing she can do. She's my little baby. Little Latin loopy loop.
This is a tape of my brother, pretending to be a star, recorded on my family's old Grundig tape recorder, back around 1966. My parents put a lot of insulation in the walls of the music room, so my brother could really scream.
The entertainers who've really are memorable and who've, you know, stand the test of time, a great deal of them have tremendous screams. So I've always thought that screaming was essential to someone who, you know, not necessarily in the popular music idiom, but in the anything that had any kind of edge or soul to it, there's got to be a scream there somewhere. And the whole reason is the same reason. It's a expression of the most inner primal feelings.
This is the room where my brother began studying the great rhythm and blues singers, people like Al Green, Little Richard, Otis Redding, James Brown, and Tom Jones, who my brother thinks brings them all together.
Just at the beginning of What's New Pussycat, he goes, "What's?"
Right.
See, now that you're getting now right there with the "What's," you got James Brown, "Wow!" You know?
Right.
And then you got Wilson Pickett, "Wow!" And then you got Ray Charles, "Oh!" You know? And then you got, you know, you're all like, and that's there, you know.
I remember the first time I ever saw my brother perform. My parents took me to see him at a high school variety show when I was still in elementary school.
Now, nobody knew that I could sing, but there was a song that there was a band, the Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and the first version of them with Al Cooper. And there was a song on there called "I Love You More Than You'll Ever Know," which is a real bluesy ballad. And I used to sing that over and over and over again in this music room. So I ended up singing it. And it was a real, it was my first real performance as me in front of a stage, you know, kind of being the, you know, the performer, like the Elvis or something. And I can remember having this kind of silky shirt on, and I probably had my ID bracelet hanging, and opened up my collar a little, and it was quite an experience, as I recall. And I think I did fairly well, but I really sold it out, you know, really started screaming there at the end.
I remember by the end of the number, your shirt was virtually half off or something. That was my recollection. I was very impressed. I'm sure it was the first time I ever saw you perform.
I don't even remember that you were there. I was absolutely there. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely there. And I remember that very well. And mostly, of course, I remember you. I have a vivid memory of being on the playground behind my elementary school, trying to explain to the other kids that the night before my brother was this, you know, big star. And I imitated you singing the same song, which, of course, I had heard endlessly with you rehearsing it. And I still know the song. And I went out and bought the record, by the way, about 5 years ago. And I have it.
Wow.
And the only reason I know that album is because of you.
Yeah.
But I remember I was imitating you, complete with undoing my shirt. I felt like a celebrity, even though the other kids didn't know it. Because, my brother, you know, he just did this thing. And so I was pretty impressed.
We're listening to Dan Gettleman's story about his brother, a Tom Jones impersonator. We'll return to the story after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to Dan Gettleman's story about his brother, a Tom Jones impersonator. The story is produced by Jay Allison with Dan Gettleman. Dan is the one who narrates the story.
If it's not clear by now, I idolized my brother. I used to sneak into his room when he wasn't home and look through his things, put on his clothes, smell his cologne. As a matter of fact, I still have a YMCA t-shirt that he used to wear when he was a counselor at Camp Beaver. It's full of holes, almost a rag, but I'd never let it go. And I've always followed his career in music, because I was sure, especially after high school, that he was going to make the big time. And he almost did. His close calls with fame were many.
They proceeded to tell us that they were going to put something like $500,000 behind the supergroup, and we were going to be the next Beatles or Monkees. And I think at the time I was 21, I believe. And I'm just sitting there going, wow, I made the big time. And he actually said to me, I think you're the next Bruce Springsteen. He at the time was an A&R representative for Atlantic Records, joining this band called Easy Action. They said, listen, we want 50% of you. And I said, forget it. I started a band right after that called Alex Space in the Orbit. We're going to, you know, take you to the top. I've moved to another band now called Flyer. And we had a band called Future City. That band was called Zippers Polite and the Ambassadors of Love.
Everybody's got to have some fun. Too much depression in everyone. Let's live tomorrow and forget about the sun tonight.
It came to the point where every record company thought that the other record company was going to sign me, and in effect I was going to be the next big thing. There were articles written saying that I was going to be the next Kiss and this and that. And Warner Brothers, they were going to have cartoons, and even we're talking about designing some sort of a video pinball game, real total marketing thing. And I was so excited. And we were a couple weeks away from signing the contract, and when the OPEC had an oil embargo, 1979, the price of plastic went up 400%, and that was the end of my shot right there. Just vanished before my eyes.
Seems like years since I touched you. If I don't reach you, think I'll come apart.
We ended up getting them to sign us up for a booking contract. And then one night they came up to us. Neither of these guys drank. They had ulcers, and they both walked around drinking a glass of milk. Remember one day they both walked up to me with a glass of milk and they said, would you mind wearing an Elvis mask?
You and me, we could be lovers.
To make a long story short, the thing really kind of fell apart. At this point, I really got totally discouraged with the whole scene. And in fact, I remember just feeling like that what I really had inside me wasn't coming out. And I took this microphone, I still have it to this day, and I threw it up against the wall. I don't know. It's all smashed in. I just left and never went back. I left everything I had that was related to music in that room and just basically quit.
My brother left music completely for many years after this time, around 1984. For a while, he dabbled with a little home recording setup, trying to write some songs. But his heart wasn't in it. He stopped going out to clubs, lost touch with most of his musician friends, didn't play, didn't perform, just left. Then, in 1991, 7 years later, he discovered karaoke.
I was sitting having dinner, and I heard this music in the lounge, and this chorus of women singing was beautiful. I said, I have to go in and hear this group. And I went in there, and there's no group. There's a guy, looks like he's sitting behind a keyboard, and he's got this big thing saying, you are the star, you know, sing the hits or something like that. And I'm looking up, and there's a video playing of, like, kind of follow the bouncing ball. I didn't know anything about karaoke. And it just sounds fantastic. And I'm saying, geez, all these years, I've been sitting around, like, trying to, like, wait for the drummer to show up or the, you know, the bass player's having a nervous breakdown, and here, you know, there's no band. You just They have these laser discs. They play the music, and you just go up and sing. Not only that, you don't even have to remember the words because they're showing you the words. They had a little monitor that faces up to you. I mean, this was a singer's delight. It was heaven.
After that, he was hooked.
At the height of my interest in karaoke, easily I was going out all 7 nights.
People loved him. He'd steal the show, knocking out the audience at bars all over the Boston area. And he began winning contests.
All right, we have our, just take it. All right, just leave it right there. We have our 5 finalists standing over by the video monitor. And Billy Costa, all 4 judges have assembled and decided who the winner is going to be. Why don't you tell us who that is?
Wait a minute. Oh, okay, I'll just do it through this. I think it was unanimous. The guy was spectacular. Alex Jones. I think it was...
My brother had found his way back to music, but this time he was Tom Jones.
I feel authentic. I feel real. This is real.
So, what, where are you at in your process here?
Well, I like to put the leather pants on because it just feels good. But I forgot one thing. I got to put something in my pouch. The ladies love this. Roll it up so it's just about that thick. Right. And then you fold it over. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And what you got there is a real peach.
So now you're going to stuff this down the front of your leather pants.
Absolutely.
And this is for the...
authenticity's sake. Next thing I do is I put a couple of belts with lots of metal on them. Because I just feel good. It also keeps my pants up. Okay, now, I have to get the makeup on.
Okay, can I follow you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I don't have the ruffled shirts. They're all at the cleaners. I don't have time to pick up another. So, that's the best I can do. It's kind of got that look a bit. See? That's what I have under. But over, as I'll show you later, okay. I have a nice sequined tux that I put over all of this. Okay. And I kind of take a couple things off.
I see. Okay.
Because I get real hot. You know what I mean? Okay. Got to have rings and... bangles and bungles. I got the big cross, because he always had the big cross.
So
now, what I have to do first is tie up my own hair. Oh, I forgot. Also got to put the mascara on the chest hair.
When he was done, my brother was transformed. Not exactly Tom Jones, but close enough and ready to go.
5 minutes late ain't no problem when Tom Jones is in the house.
My brother and I go to a gig outside Boston where some company's holding its employee appreciation party.
Any pussycats out there? Do I hear any meows?
It's in a function room next to a hotel restaurant. Bumbershoots or Rockinghams or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Meow, yes. Pussycat. I got flowers. Lots of hours to spend with you. Get rid of him, so.
The night before this, my brother told me, he'd performed at a Chinese restaurant. And after his finale, the whole place, all the guests and the waiters, even the stagehands, they all stood up and gave him a standing ovation. He said it was like being in a movie. A few months after I interviewed him, my brother got laid off from his computer job. My parents told me they were pretty worried about him. Now he's playing the stock market, trying to parlay his retirement money into a nest egg that will carry him for a while until he makes it big with his Tom Jones act. While my brother performed, I circulated through the room, talking to people.
And this guy is just like him. He's very good. He's very good.
He was pretty close.
I thought he was very close. If I didn't meet him in the hallway and no otherwise, I would have questioned, was this really the Tom Jones?
I didn't tell anyone that Alex Jones was my brother. I just asked them what they thought of him.
He's got a great voice, really great voice. He does. He's good.
So how do you get him anyway?
I can make sure that you get his card.
Yeah, I would. I'd like to have his card.
I wanted to hear that he was making them happy. I wanted him to succeed. I wanted to help him get more work. I wanted to hear that they loved him.
Dan Gettyman's story about his brother was produced by Jay Allison with consulting producer Christina Egloff. It comes from Jay's ongoing series Life Stories, which is produced with funds from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. It was originally heard on the new national radio program This American Life from WBEZ in Chicago, which we will continue to showcase on Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air.